Svet podcastov Bauer Media. Bauer Media.
Welcome everybody. You are listening to podcast about architecture called How I Met My Architect. Today we will speak in English. That's a little bit different because usually we speak in Slovak, but I will tell you why we are speaking in English. Let me make a really short introduction that today we will be talking about photography in architecture. It's actually the third episode because the first interview was with Matej Hakar, episode number 21. The second episode was with Swedish photographer of architecture Akeson Lindman, and today we are sitting with one of the best Czech photographer of architecture. Yes, it is. And it's Alexandra Timpau, which you could know from the profile of or with the nickname Alex Shoots Buildings. Hi, Alex.
Hello. Hi. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm really glad that
I'm really glad
you came from Prague. Thank you very much.
Well, yes, far, far away.
So let's start from the beginning, because that's like something what we always do. Interesting thing about you is that you are an architect. You didn't study the photography.
No.
So please give us some introduction about that decision.
Maybe the best way to frame it is that I'm this kind of person that gets into these black holes of interests, you know, that I'm interested in a lot of things a lot of time. So photography, architecture, music, and some other things have been like kind of running in parallel for a big chunk of my life. And with the appearance of COVID in our lives, there was a bit of a moment of pause. And that's when I turned to photography 100%. But actually, I had been doing it for many years before in parallel to architecture. And the way I learned it was through renderings, I think. If I look back at understanding, you know, where my technical skills started in this field, it's doing renderings.
So the composition, the lightning and the stuff, the renders?
Yes. It was definitely a long time of understanding that this is a job and this is me. You know, it was a long transition. It wasn't from day one, I picked up the camera, I started taking photos of buildings and went, yeah, I'm an architectural photographer from now on, goodbye. But it was a really long process, which developed over me learning how to take photos, I hope. Mm-hmm. and also getting clients, like balancing also that part of it and understanding how to price my work and all of this. This took a long time to develop, and then in the point where I had to make a choice because I was getting way more commissions than I could handle while I was also working in a studio, while I was also doing some other things in parallel to this, that's when I decided it became a job.
Mm-hmm. And the very simple question, how did you learn that? Because you said I learned it. So how did you learn to take a picture?
I think what I learned is what I like. I didn't necessarily, I cannot say, you know, I can't tell you that I know all the technical aspects of photography. That will be definitely an overstatement. But I think I learned what I like in architectural photography. I learned how to make what I like. I understand when to take the photo. I understand what kind of lenses.
Alone or from internet or how?
Also internet, but also a lot of failure. A lot of understanding that what I did, you know, a lot of, like looking back at the photos that I took, you know, a few years ago and being like, oh God, no, like, you know, this shows a bit of growth, hopefully. So I think this is how I learned, by just trying and doing it and, yeah, and then finding out, of course, the internet, like, that's my biggest teacher in all mm-hmm. my life.
Okay, because we are talking like, we are smiling about that. But the truth is also that in 2021, Arch Daily portal put you among the top 25 emerging like photographers in architecture,
yeah.
Which is really serious. It's not funny. So somehow you just got there.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised. Nobody told me about that article. I found out just as everybody else that I am there. I really think I got there because I just trusted that what I like is good, basically.
Okay, so like intuition.
Yes. I think I just wanted to make myself happy, and that's kind of the road to me learning the technical aspects of how to get there.
Okay. So you are kind of a living example that you don't need a school to do the stuff?
I mean, I wouldn't, you know, dare to say anything like that, because, like, of course, if I, you know, if I had a time bubble of 6 years, I would probably, you know, go to school and learn all of that. But
why? You don't need it, actually.
I mean, I am, at least for me, definitely architectural education was a big part of this. I can't even pretend to say that, you know, if I didn't study architecture, I would be doing architectural photography. No, I think, you know, perspective, composition, materiality, you know, rhythm, everything, all the things that you learn in making space.
I mean, architecture school, totally 100%. Yeah. I'm talking about photography school.
Yeah, well, I think that they're like, what I need from photography overlapped with a lot of the information that I got from architecture, plus the stuff that I learned from internet and from, yeah, just looking at other people's photos and thinking, ah, this thing, this little thing that they did, this is what I like. What is that? Let me try to do it, you know.
Okay.
Fail many times, do it again, and so on.
But I would say that's this architectural photography or photography in general, that's a good good way how to improve very quickly, because you will photoshoot, you will fail, you can try it again.
Yes.
You are not designing architecture which is finished like in 8 years, and then you can start again.
No, absolutely. And then you can also, you don't have to use newly finished buildings, right? You can just go out into the street and take, you know, a million photos of one building until you know you're happy. That's basically where I guess the point would be for me. But yeah, architecture is everywhere. It doesn't move. Also, it doesn't complain that it doesn't look good in the photos. So you can just keep on doing it. Unlike, I imagine, portraiture photography.
Fortunately, architecture doesn't complain. Yes. Otherwise, you won't get the job.
It would be really sad, yes.
And do you remember some kind of a moment when you start to take it seriously?
I think it was when my friend Anka told me, yeah, why don't you just send the photos that you took of Tugendhat Villa to Architecture Daily? Maybe they publish it. And she told me this and I was like, I mean, yeah, you know, what can happen? Just write to the email, you know. So I did, and they published it as like a part of their Architecture Daily used to have this kind of series, which was about existing buildings. So they just took the photos from a photographer and they created a new article based on those images and with text about, you know, in my case, the Tugendhat Villa. They had kind of older photography. This is it. This is so simple. You know, there's kind of the magic of like, or the, not magic, but the you know, the black kind of box of like, how does this work kind of exploded. And I was like, oh, okay. So maybe I can do the same with something else, you know? And I think that was the moment when I realized that this is a path, but this was very early in the path.
That's why I have the second question.
Yes.
When the others started to think about you like a serious photographer of architecture. At one point is that, okay, I want to do it. But the other point is when the others...
I mean, I was working in architectural offices who were implicitly my clients at the beginning.
Ah.
I also, like, as an architect, yeah, you have all your friends that are architects and you know, those are your clients at the beginning.
But they have to like your work at first.
I mean, yeah, for sure. Like, but I also feel like architectural photography is a very much a dialogue. It's not, from my point of view, it's very much like an agreement and a discussion. So, like, as long as you're willing to talk to somebody, you'll find a way to do it. So that was kind of where it really began, at the beginning. And yeah, and then slowly I got clients from outside of my sphere, my close
bubble.
Sphere.
Mm-hmm. Your bubble. Okay, so let's move on. Are you able to describe your like approach or your language?
I try to take each building separately because I really feel like an interior that is very luxurious and very like specific to the materials that it uses can be compared to, I don't know, the Yeshted Tower, let's say. It's really very different contexts. And I try to take each on its own. But in general, I think I'm into images that are more soft, that are, I like to think of like almost being able to grasp the air in the sense that there's like a fog that isn't there, but it feels like the air is an object, or light is an object, let's say. Like it's diffused.
That sounds very conceptual.
No, it's like softer, like mm-hmm. it defines, you know, everything around it. So like those, you know, early times in the morning, or like it's almost like the light is present in mm-hmm. you're like everybody kind of is aware of it, you know, everybody's like, oh, it's so nice outside. It's about a softness and like an atmosphere, almost like a delicate kind of approach. Like the shadows are soft, they're not sharp.
Okay.
A lack of perfection in a way, almost like not mm-hmm. a fixating on, you know, crisp image, but mm-hmm. a blurry image is fine. Like a sort of, yeah, lightness of it.
Okay. Those approaches, mm-hmm. they change like through the time. Mm-hmm. And you are also doing this for a couple of years now. Mm-hmm. is this like your language or approach changing a little bit, or it's still like at the beginning?
As I'm learning more about how to do things, I think I'm expanding technically as well in that area. But in general, yes.
Or where you moved on?
I think beginning, for example, I was more interested in capturing the building in any time of the day. And but this was also like buildings that I had access to. It was not clients' buildings. There was a different thing.
Okay.
And I feel now that I can try to focus on specific times of the day that I prefer to take the photos in, and to try to control at least in that aspect.
When is the ideal time for you to take pictures about the, or pictures of architecture?
Early morning, I guess, and like around sunset. But also winter. I really love winter light. It's just so beautiful. Everything is so like soft, and the air has a lot of humidity in it usually, which means that it's it becomes almost like a fog, but it's not really fog. It's like just almost perceivable as a fog.
Okay.
You experience this in the summer as well. If you know, wake up really, really early and it rained the day before, and it's not really foggy, but it's kind of almost foggy. So stuff like that I really, uh-huh. really enjoy. So trying to...
But wake up early in the summer could mean that you are waking up at 4.
Yes, at 4, yes. night.
At night.
At night. Yes.
So what does it mean that you are waking up at 4 for 1/3 of the year, or what?
No, I mean, actually last year, yes.
Wow.
Yes, but it's not, it maybe sounds a lot more rough than it is actually, but I go to sleep with the idea that it's just a little break in my sleep, and really good food awaits after that. And then I like rebuild for the rest of the day. I think it's worth it every time. There's something about the morning that is this like humidity in the air and it's like stillness that just mm-hmm. gives it a really beautiful atmosphere. And every okay. time I've woken up in the morning and I've gone there and I've taken photos, I've never ever regretted it.
But what about the weather? Because weather could change.
Yes.
And like I can imagine that those ideal days for you, it's kind of limited, or mm-hmm. it could be limited. So, but you have a lot of project, you mm-hmm. have a lot of clients. Mm-hmm. So how to manage this weather stuff, you know?
Yes. I'm now learning to adapt to the chaos of weather, which is maybe the most... kind of like interesting thing for me personally to learn to accept this kind of chaos that is completely uncontrollable. And I just shift the dates. I just, you know, if it's going to rain or if it's going to be absolutely bad, then we just find another date and we try to look for a better option. Doesn't have to be bright and sunny to get the perfect weather. For me, it can be many things, but like these kind of like early mornings are usually good weather. It's really rare, actually, that it rains in the morning.
Because a lot of people could say that or could think that the best environment or best time for photoshooting could be really nice sunny days at noon or something. Mm-hmm. So probably that's not the answer. So why is it not the answer?
What's
wrong on photoshooting at noon?
Absolutely nothing. I think I just don't like it myself. But that, you know, for example, I was thinking like Soto de Moura buildings, you know, in Portugal, how they have these like super sharp shadows on all of the photos because that's Portugal, right? It's sunny, it's blue sky, and it's the, you know, dramatic building that kind of cuts in the landscape. So it does fit in Greece, you know, maybe that's like, you know, you want that because that's the, but it's not really the most descriptive weather for the Czech Republic, for example. Yeah. And, you know, if you think of weather in Prague and in Bratislava in the winter, it you know, the thing that strikes maybe is not the brightest of sun, but maybe somewhere in between. Like this weather describes more of how it is. If you go to Belgium, okay, you know, every day there's this soft light with a lot of humidity in the air, and you can really point the camera at any building and it will be this like soft light. It's incredible, right? And you don't want to take photos there in a blue sunny day, which probably they have as well, because that would be a lie. Like that's not how the weather is, right? And I think that equally in our part of the world, most of the time it's not bright and sunny and blue sky.
For me, each photographer has some kind of role when he's doing the project. Someone is more like artistic, someone is more documentary or more reportage. I'm not sure if I said it right
Probably.
In English.
I don't know.
What kind of role do you have?
I try to communicate a lot with my clients to make sure that I understand what they want and what they imagine. I ask for their renderings, for the photos that they took with their phone, basically as much kind of documents about the project that they have, exact location, anything that they can share with me, like documents and so on. And then they are usually joining me on site. So we are together during the day or days of the shoot. And I think my role is try to show the project or what they meant with the project with my lens. I'm not trying to be like, you know, go there and like, you know, put
just
my headphones on, and listen to my podcast and like leave me alone, you know, kind of thing. I couldn't do that, you know, like I need a bit of like, even if they are not available during that day, I still ask them for a lot of information. I always want to know, what do you expect? What's your favorite point of view? When you enter, what do you look at? You know, what are you most happy about? You know, everything that I can gather so that I understand what to showcase and what to not. Because sometimes they're like, oh my God, this kitchen don't like, you know, kind of thing. So yeah, you know, I have to do it. So I really try to be somewhere like a mediator between the way they want to show the project and try to help them there. Because, I mean, of course, I get a lot of freedom to take photos as, you know, as I want. But I want to also understand their expectations before.
But the result is that your final pictures are mostly without the people.
That's because usually we go and before people use them. That's usually the case. Or like
the new project?
Yes. And when I do get the chance to have people in it,
We do architecture for people.
Yes.
And then at the end, it's not only your case, but a lot of photographers, let me say mostly, are empty spaces without the people. And that's kind of a contrast.
Yes, I agree. I think it's also the expectation of the media in a way, because there's so few photos with people in it. Very few photos with people got published, and therefore the impression is in the architect's mind that that's the requirement, right? In order to get published, in order to get featured. I'm really trying to include people. A lot of the times I'm making the architects as my models. A lot of the times they are there in the images, or I am there. But yeah,
I never
general,
see you in your pictures.
Well,
you or you are the blurry,
better.
Blurry person
no,
somewhere.
No, I am there.
Okay.
I like in, for example, in this bridge photos of Holka for the bridge in Prague. Uh-huh. Like I am in almost all of them. They're almost all of them selfies, but
Let
nobody noticed. I
Let
can show
me
you.
Check. Okay, because I'm asking, because for example, as I told at the beginning, Akeson Lindman, the Swedish photographer, he said quite interesting stuff that because he has also pictures without the people, but it's on purpose because he was talking about the clothes that when you have the people, like today people, they are wearing the today's clothes. So when he wants to make his pictures like long lasting, he doesn't want for the
fashion,
audience
yes.
to see the fashion. So that could be the purpose why he doesn't have the people. So
there's always a balance of how many. That's the thing. Like if you take photos of a cafe and you have every single seat full of people, it's going to be very difficult to understand how those chairs or tables look like. So there's also the practical side of this, right? But I think that having a person appear in the photos or two or three or cats or dogs, you know, whatever is there really, really helps scale the image to the human body. As soon as you see it, you understand how big it is. This is also why I enjoy taking photos of like public space, because there it's really... It's a lot about people, you know, acting and like...
And it's changing all the time.
Yes.
So that could be a challenge for you to take the right moment, right?
I guess the right time is actually all the time is just really being there.
And what about the styling space, for example? It's more, we are more talking about interiors. If you do the like aligning chairs and like setting up the composition, do you do it?
I definitely work with the tripod and I have like a, you know, connection to a tablet. So I see the image bigger and I try to check for like things that are, I don't know, like, I think the styling topic is very, very delicate because it almost touches on like interior design sometimes. I usually tell my clients that I'm going to photograph what I find. I will align some chairs. I will happily carry furniture if they want me to, but I would like them to decide on how the interior looks because I don't want to go there and change something and then find out that actually that chair, it had to be oriented by this, you know, like, I don't know, you know, I need to be aware that what we're seeing is what they want to see. And if it's, you know, if I arrive and the house is, this is the house, you do this, I don't move a thing. I just leave it like this and I move around and I just take photos. I don't decide anything about how the house looks like. And I try to make that very clear because it's also a very delicate thing where you go into somebody's house and you start saying how their art is really crap and maybe we should put it down, you know? That's not something you want to do. So that's why I have this little conversation before I arrive and I say, you know, whatever is there, we're photographing. So make sure that what is there is what you want there.
They have these things because they don't know that they are not good for the picture.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I mean, it really depends. In some houses, it really fits to have a lot of toys and a lot of like, you know, personal objects like around. It looks great. So it depends really on the intention of the architects usually. But I think there's no like, a formula for success of a photo. I think it really depends on
I think that this thing is actually is changing because like 3 years ago, you could do the spaces and pictures. It has to be clean, you know. And now maybe you like a little bit messy spaces. And in 5 years, you will love to take the pictures of all of the mess and you find the beauty in it. So that's why I'm asking.
Yeah, for sure. For example, I really like taking photos of building sites because for me, they are like the peak of... of architecture in a way, because it's before all the comforts, all the, you know, pillows, all the air conditioning, all the, you know, and it's a mess, right? Like you get there and there's like trash and, leftover packaging and everything, but it looks great because I think most photographers are very excited about taking photos of, like, you know, messy places and, like, textures and, you know, and not have to work with, like, you know, only two right angles.
Let's talk about the preparation phase.
Okay.
How long your preparation, takes?
Yeah. This depends a lot on how much time we have for it. Sometimes it's like just a few calls or, you know, a few emails and exchanging as many documents as I can get from them. And just me really researching location on Google and angle of the sun and shadows and everything.
But yeah, feel free to say what you research.
So this is basically it. Like
those two things?
I try to make sure that I look at the vicinity, if it's accessible or not, if I can walk there, if I have to jump a fence, if I have to talk to somebody to let me go into somewhere, you know, like I try to understand exactly, because usually there's a neighbor, there's a, you know, a building or something. So I try to investigate, you know, what is the edge of possibility, right? Like, where can we not go?
Uh-huh.
And then on site, I try to arrive a few hours earlier to get a bit of a view and to get, of course, like a walkthrough with the clients.
But it's one day before, right? Because when you said that you are waking up very early, it has to be one day before.
I can start with shooting in the evening. So then I can arrive around noon, spend like 2-3 hours preparing, discussing, having a tour and so on. And then basically as the, you know, afternoon, evening comes, then I start shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second day.
So it's always like that? One evening and one morning?
It's not always like that. Some projects are one afternoon. Some projects are, but really, 2 days, 3 days. Some projects are every 2 months. So it's really, really a different thing for a different project, depending on the scale as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I shot family houses in one afternoon. And I think the photos are very good and I'm very happy with them.
But how do you choose the project which needs one afternoon and which needs to come back 3 times?
Scale is one thing that determines it. If the project is large, it's very unlikely I'll be able to shoot it in one afternoon. It's also budget, because my pricing depends on time and the license for the photos. So obviously, if the budget is more restricted, I try to, you know,
optimize.
Manage. Yes, exactly.
Yes. Okay.
I guess those are the two determinants. When the project is big or when the project is in a landscape that is very defining for it, like the bridge or, you know, something that has like a relationship to a natural kind of element, then it's really much better to go a few times, because that relationship is not easily shown in one afternoon.
But what about the nature? Because the nature is changing. It's totally different in the winter and in the summer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do we have some global suggestions which is better or which works better for something?
No, I think it really depends. I just remembered how I was photographing now recently a project, and the architects really liked the view from the forest, which they took during autumn.
Through the forest or from the forest?
Through the forest. Were in the forest and they were looking at the project.
Uh-huh.
They really liked the view. But when we were shooting it, it was July. So it was covered in leaves and you couldn't see anything.
Oh, okay.
So there's also this, for example, that can determine, right? Like if you think that the relationship with this little forest or this little natural area next to the project is important, then, you know, how do you show that relationship in like a very leafy kind of dense?
Yeah, because this question came to me yesterday when I was doing a small research about you, and I saw the nice project from Jan Studený, which you know very well, the family house in Pernek. And you have the like a lot of pictures, or that's the project which you photoshoot in the winter with all brown, without leaves, trees. But then I saw the pictures, July, August, I don't know, covered everything green, super nice. I think that on this, I understood much better the architecture than the winter pictures.
Mm, the architect likes the opposite.
Yeah, but that's the two different like result.
Yes.
One architecture, two different emotions.
Yes, absolutely.
It.
Yeah.
Which one do you prefer? Okay, Jan Studený prefer brown one, but which one do you prefer?
I don't have a preference over those. I think the most interesting was actually the difference. From inside, when you look outside, you can see the entire valley that opens mm-hmm. in front of them. And in the winter, because the trees in the front were, you know, without leaves, you could really see like the edge of the forest and everything. So like the landscape opened even much more than in summer. So the difference was actually the striking thing. And actually, I think maybe there's more value in, you know, photographing it throughout the season and showing that difference.
Yeah, that could be the concept.
Yeah, exactly. But this is what he wanted, to see, you know, to see how it looks in the winter and also in the summer.
And do you have some favorite typology which you like to photoshoot?
No, I guess
it doesn't matter. Interior, family house,
definitely
public building.
Public space, for sure. That's number one, because of the dynamics, because you can see many, many things happening at the same, you know, it can be, it's endless possibilities. It's a lot of waiting and a lot of...
But you don't have clients for public spaces that much, no?
Park in Ash, for example, I had a really, really great experience with photographing this park. I'd never photographed a park before and it was wonderful.
How tough really is to nice. Photograph a park? Or
very difficult when you're used to photographing buildings. But
what is the difference? Are there some rules how to do it good? Or
I watched people. I watched how people move in the space and I learned where they are most likely to go. And I tried to capture the elements that the client wanted to show with their interaction, because that was obvious to me that I was like the best, like, you know, mix.
Do we have some, let me say, rules?
Mm.
Imagine that you have, or our audience is someone who would like to start to do some architectural photography, but he doesn't know the very basic rules.
Mm.
Can you give him some suggestions?
Well, what I've taken on as rules is the, you know, the verticals have to be parallel kind of rule.
Thank you. Rule number one.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But other than that, I don't think so. I think usually natural light is preferred, but not an exclusive kind of thing. So basically trying to capture whatever space there is in its more kind of like, what's it called? Like the most neutral state, kind of like the day-to-day kind of things. I wouldn't make anything a rule. I don't think it's necessary to necessarily have rules for this. I think architecture can be depicted in many ways, and I think it should be a mm-hmm. bit more wide the way it's documented and shown.
Yeah, but for example, the verticals,
yes.
I would say that's a rule, because that's how your eye is working, that you never have the verticals not
unless
vertical. Yeah, so that could be a rule.
Yes, for sure, yes.
Which cost you only 3,000 euros per tilt shift lens camera.
Not necessarily. You can use software to straighten the lenses. You don't have to pay necessarily the money. It definitely helps to have a tilt shift lens, but you don't necessarily need it. I didn't have it for a long time and nobody knew. So it's
thank
fine.
You.
Yeah, and also I think what is maybe a rule for me is to offer people a repère, like a point of like orientation in the building. So let's say in a house you have a door that leads into the bedroom, and mm-hmm. sometimes try to take a photo that shows that connection from whatever space to that bedroom, and then show the photo of the bedroom, a kind of like a path, let's say, kind of like a tour, mm-hmm. you know, where the spaces are linked and you understand kind of what the connection between them is.
Yeah, sure. That could be a nice suggestion.
It's not necessarily a rule, but it helps very much for reading. Yes.
For orientation,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. But at the end, I would say that when you do it, when you photoshoot a space, at the end, there is kind of a package mm-hmm. of the whole pictures of the project. But can you like think how many pictures you need, let me say on average, mm. to take the everything what you need, like detail, context, and everything, how many?
I guess this depends a lot on the scale of the project. I would say like 20 photos are a good base.
20?
Yes,
yeah,
I would say it's somewhere there. I know that usually publications also ask for somewhere around this. amount. I don't know if there's a golden number, but like, let's say a family house with 20 images, I think you can kind of get a good idea of it. But you could take 100 and, you know, that's the thing. Whereas a big project or, you know, something that is multifunction will probably need double that. Because if you have a space that has a cinema, two restaurants, a cafe, and I don't know what, you're not going to manage with 20 photos.
Sure. But probably you are saying that with four pictures, you are not able to communicate like everything, no? Because it's too low.
Yeah, I think so, yes. Mm-hmm. Definitely, especially when you have exterior and interior.
And the contrast question is that how are you avoiding to make too many pictures? You know, because you like a photographer, you could have like 1,000 pictures per weekend, which is crazy. So how are you avoiding to make too much pictures? Or are you deleting them afterwards? Or what is the way?
I usually take as many as I think are necessary in the time while I'm shooting. And then what I send to my clients are previews of these images. So let's say I took 300 images during the shoot. I sent them 270 because like 30 of them were really, they shouldn't see the light of day after me. Let's say like a big project like that. I try to stop myself because I know what I want, I guess, because I don't feel like taking more than what I like. You know what I mean? Like, I go there and I know that I enter a space and I know there's three photos here and there's no more than three photos in that space. And so, that's how I feel it and that's how I take and that's what I send. And maybe one of them is really bad and actually there's two. No. So
they ordered 20 and you sent two.
No, it's not. You know, I meant one room. I enter one room and I'm like, ah, no, like makes no sense to, you know, do this because it's not going to be good. You know, I mean, I feel like I've learned a bit on the things that will not work at the end. So I'd rather not go there. And I think that's maybe where I would waste some time if I didn't know that yet.
Yeah, actually, I would say that you are quite limited in time because when you said that you are working in early in the morning and in the evening, there is just a limited time when you could take pictures. So you cannot do 100 pictures because you don't have time for that.
You can. If you move very fast, you can. You really, you run around and you're like, yeah, it's really, I don't know. Like, I really feel like I'm really quick at it when I shoot because of this light that I really like. That's definitely very limiting as well. Yeah, you're right. Like, that's maybe one of the most determining factors.
And what about the post-production? Everybody does the post-production, but what is your amount?
Basically two steps in post-production. Mm-hmm. One is I run all the images through Lightroom and I decide which one never seen by ever anybody again, and which ones are sent to my clients, and they go through like a light editing of color and color and contrast and like these kind of basic things, and then they become preview images which are sent to the clients. They select the ones that they like, they send me this list, and these go to Photoshop, and where I do adjust some things, but it's not like, you know, I will not create a table on the terrace if there was no table on the terrace kind of thing. You know what I mean? Yeah, I guess that's pretty much all the consistent photo, like Photoshop. I mean, yes, sometimes I don't pick up all the trash on the street, so I have to remove some of the crap that I forgot. But that's it. I usually, when I go for the walk, I try to pick up all the trash that I need, so I don't have to Photoshop, but I don't know, a Coca-Cola
bottle.
That's the life,
that's the life.
Yes, it is, but the problem is that it's just a one, you know? Like, that's
There's not a structure.
Yeah, there's no pattern on anything. It's just like one lazy Coca-Cola bottle in the middle.
And what is a pattern for you? 3, 4?
I don't know. But what is a pattern
because
for
written,
Coca-Cola bottles?
Written in architecture means 3.
Yes.
Minimum.
But I guess, yeah, both in fashion as well. It's also 3 minimum. Yeah. But maybe.
So if there would be like 3 Coca-Cola bottles, you will leave them, right?
Yeah. Well, I think so, yeah. I mean, no.
Let me go to the regular rubric. Mm-hmm. Question number 1. What is your the most favorite failure?
everything that had to do with the concept of licensing and photography, because I didn't know anything about this, obviously, being an architect, like, this is all, you know. And all about that process and how this works, I learned through making mistakes, I think, through, you know, working either without a license, like without licensing my photos and understanding what that means, or like, you know, having photos used by somebody that wasn't supposed to use them, but me not having a document to prove anything kind of thing, you know, like, and all of that process has been a long and beautiful list of failures, which have taught me a lot.
Okay, but what is the positive stuff at the end?
The positive is me having a very clear document that that explains exactly how licenses work. Maybe the funniest one actually is when a marketing manager of a company that was selling some sort of product that was used in the interior of a house that I photographed, he explained to me that every single image that is online is for free. So it's his right to use the photo because he found it on some website. And I had to explain that it's not like that. So every time I think about licensing, I think about him. And I remember, like, yeah, I guess I also learned, he also learned, you know, like everybody learned a bit.
Are you sure that he learned?
I don't know if he learned, but I definitely tried to to explain. Okay. So I guess it would be, this kind of journey into licensing and how it works.
We will talk about the licensing in a bonus episode a little bit, but let's move on now. What is the best personal ability?
I like that I don't hesitate when I make a decision. I very rarely linger on something.
Okay. That it maybe took a time while you do it?
It doesn't take any time.
No?
No. I feel like I decide things pretty quickly, and that helps
me
a lot.
And you don't regret?
No. Okay.
You just...
Yeah. Just move on.
And do you think before? Or you just decide?
I think that it's not necessarily a...
to think.
I don't... Yeah, it's not a very rational thing. Also, I'm thinking more in aspect of photography, because as I was saying, like, I enter somewhere and I can look at what I have in the screen, and I know if this is a good photo or not. And I cannot, you know, think about it very long because I just feel it somehow. I just know it in myself that this is great, and I really feel that.
So this leads you to the good things, right?
To something that makes me happy.
Okay, and what is the worst personal ability?
I think I am not listening enough to people enough. I think I should be even, like, to pay attention more and to listen more.
That's you mean in a working life or in personal life? Because in working, you are telling me that you are asking a lot.
Yes, I am. But I feel like I could listen to more.
Really?
Yes. Like, I feel like that's something that helps me grow a lot and become better as a person myself. Like, listening much more or more attentive listening.
Flat or house?
Garden. House.
House? Yes. Because of the garden?
Mm-hmm. Yes. A box with a garden, maybe. Yeah, that would be the answer. A flat with a garden, yes.
What is the most favorite food?
Oh, very easy. Potatoes in ash with kefir, butter and salt.
Okay. Was it, is it something which you tasted in Czech Republic, or is it from Romanian? Because you
Romania,
are from, because we have it here also.
Yeah, I think everybody at one point has thrown a potato into the fire and discovered it's heaven.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah, but not everybody has kefir.
Yes, true. But I think it's kind of the same thing. It just has different names. You can find it from Turkey to here.
Probably. Yeah. Turkey. Yes, they have this.
They also have. Yeah. No, ayran is with salt. It's something else.
Without the salt? Or?
Mm-hmm. Kefir without salt. Ayran has salt. Ayran is yogurt, water and salt, I think.
Uh-huh. It's really good.
Yeah. It's great.
Let me ask you about the candy question.
Mm-hmm.
Today you were trying kavenki or kakao rezi. So please tell us.
Kavenki, for sure.
Why?
Because it's coffee, it's bitter, and I'm not really big on sugar. I prefer like more like sour, this that kind of direction. So anything that has less sugar than normal is my. They should make a version with like pickled cucumbers or something like that, and that would be my absolute favorite one.
Wow, candy. Candy with the pickled cucumber.
Yes. We will revolutionize the cuisine of
Feel free
Slovakia.
To establish that company and we will see if you will survive.
I believe that if you make something and you love it, there will be at least 100 people out there that will love it too. There's too many of us right now that statistically there will be somebody that will eat that.
Okay. And the last question in this first episode would be, we, like an architect, we wear black clothes very often. Mm-hmm. So why do you think that architects wear black?
Because it's the easiest thing to wear, because there's no decisions to be made, I guess. And you don't want to add more decisions to your life than you already have to make as an architect. So yeah, I used to do that too, but I'm...
That's why you have a red, bloody...
I'm getting out of it. I'm escaping it.
Because you are also an architect.
Well, you know...
So thank you very much, Alex, that you came from Prague. It's an honor that we could meet and we could talk and chat, and we can collect also the third episode about architecture photography, because there is not only one approach. Mm-hmm. And that's something what I want to communicate. So thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
And let's move on to the bonus episode, to herohero.co/howimetmyarchitect, and see you there.
See you there. Thank you.